Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Om nom 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 nom.
It's all warm because it was in my pocket.
Nature's microwave. Glenn's pocket.
It's like the chick on the bus at the end of Ferris Bueller's.
Oh, my gosh. Oh. Gummy bear?
You want a gummy bear? It's like, they're all warm and chewy because they've been in my pocket.
It is the Migs Cast. I am here with the Reverend Fuego.
Hi.
Glenn Cannon.
Hello.
And I'm Steve Migs. And man, it's good to see you boys.
Good to see you.
Yeah.
Good to be seen.
Hello.
Always. Good to be seen.
On a Tuesday. Got to get home at some point, get a good nap in. Tonight, I'm going to go see the Glorious Sons play at the Showbox.
Oh, nice.
They're opening up for the Struts.
What are the Struts?
Oh.
I don't know anything about the Struts.
This is the problem. So I've been so excited about this show because I'm like, the Glorious Sons are playing, they're opening for the Struts. I think there might be like three total bands, but so the Glorious Sons go on at like 8:15. I'm like, this is great.
Yeah, nice.
I'll be gone at 9 o'clock it ends, get home,
and
I'll be a little
heard
tired.
The Struts.
And I've heard about the Struts for a while. I've heard them. They never really super impressed me. Like, I've wanted to really dig them, but like, I'm like, all right, they're fine. But then they put out a new record, and my wife was like, who are the Struts? I'm like, well, let's check out their new record while we go on a road trip. And holy smokes.
Nice. They're either really into walking or really into aircraft. It's sort of one of the two.
Yeah, right?
Dude, the Struts, their new record is like our favorite record right now.
Oh, no.
Which sucks.
Yeah, that means you're going to be a late night.
No, I think we're both going to still put our foot down and not stick around for the Struts and maybe live to see them another time. I say that now, but you know.
Tuesday night concerts, man.
So like, this is the current song by them that's kind of getting a big, it reminds you a little bit of that band Jet.
Yes.
Like if Freddie Mercury was the front man.
Oh.
The guy's got a cool vibe to him.
Your eyes follow like a spotlight. Two eyes like the sun.
Ooh.
Go ahead, keep your distance from me. Soon you're gonna come. When you flick your head off, you don't care. And you're asking where I'm from. That game that you're running, baby, you've already won. I need to know. Gonna be it tonight. You can be cool, you can be shy. Say what you want, say what you like. Cause ooh, your body talks, your body talks.
So I'm like, damn it, I kind of want to see these guys a little
bit.
This
is really good.
They're a fun rock and roll band. I do like this song because it's so Paul Stanley. He just sings people, like people.
The love seeking lonely people. It's funny, like this. There seems to be a lot of this going on where it's truly mega pop,
yep,
rock,
yep,
crossover.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
100%.
Like, remember, it's probably been about 15 years ago or more, but there was a huge thing where country,
yes,
crossed over damn near into mainstream pop rock.
They still are.
And it was huge. Yeah. And it seems like a lot of like rock is surfacing in pop. Because I hear that, I'm like, yeah, this is just total pop sensibility.
Yep, it's very sugary.
Yeah, like very, and I don't know any of those artists, but they throw electric guitar in it and a little bit of attitude, and suddenly it's, you know, aerial quotes rock.
Yeah,
that's all you need, right?
It's that crossover, right? No, it's that crossover. It's cool. It's a unique, it's actually kind of a new thing.
Yeah.
It's kind of neat.
The crazy part, you speak about pop, they even do that song, the first song I played, Body Talks. They have it again at the end of the record, and it's featuring Kesha.
Oh, dear.
Rev just rolled his eyes.
Yeah. Sorry, that was involuntary
reaction. It's the exact
reaction.
Same song, though. But you hear her go every once in a while. She does this Kesha stuff.
And she probably got some big money for that.
Yeah.
Reminds me of the Sneaker Pimps.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Six Underground and stuff like that.
They had Six Underground. They had the really killer album version. But then they had a more I think it was intended to be the hit version, yeah. And it just had some dumb rapper going, I want two,
yeah.
I want two.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, oh, that'll make it popular.
Yeah. And it did.
And it did.
Yeah, so she's like on that.
That's
little...
what, I'm missing a hype man. That's why I need Keisha to come talk on one of my tracks.
Keisha.
You need Keisha, not Kesha.
Whatever.
Keisha. Keisha's a lot
Whatever.
Cheaper to get. She's big in Venezuela, but not yet here in the States.
This is how much I don't know, but I don't feel bad that I don't know. I feel enlightened.
It makes me laugh even more, though, because I had an uncle who had a dog named Keisha, so it just kind of...
Get over here, Keisha.
Yeah.
So my track will have like, I want to.
Oh, yeah, you need a hype dog.
I do need a hype dog.
Featuring Glenn Cannon's new hit single, Sit, Keisha, Sit. Good dog.
I'll just repeat the word sit a bunch.
You know, there's probably nobody under the age of 35 that understands
sit,
that
boo-boo,
reference.
Sit, good dog.
Good dog. That was at the end of what show?
Was it
Cheers?
There's a bunch of shows that had that.
That
yeah.
was like the production company.
Mm, yeah.
Like the Bad Robot now for like Lost and other, no, that's even a dated one. But you know what I mean.
I remember Sit Boo. It was Ubu. Wasn't
sit,
it Ubu?
Ubu Sit.
Sit Ubu Sit. Arf, good dog.
Good dog.
It was at the end of every
yeah,
show.
Yeah, Sit Ubu Sit. Yeah, Ubu and Paramount, so...
Now I gotta pull that up.
I don't remember what show that was.
I don't need to pull it up. Really.
Do we need to?
No.
So what's a Kesha?
Kesha's...
What's a Kesha?
Is she that idiot that... No, that's Cardi B. That's that idiot that obviously can't even read a book.
Kesha was a pop star, had a big hit for a minute, then disappeared. And she was in the news because she had an issue with a producer that was like...
Did she beat someone or smoke crack?
No.
No, the dude
she
was
being
creepy.
Like, some dude got creepy on her and like was like, in order for her to make it, she needed to do things to him. And she finally spoke out about it.
That's what I tried, but she bypassed me and went on to a different creep.
Family Ties.
Family Ties did
was it Sit Ubu Sit?
Not trying to do things with Kesha. Wasn't
no.
It wasn't the Keaton family, right?
No, Alex B. Keaton there.
So here's her voice on that song, I think. Soon you're gonna call. No, she's not gonna.
When you flick your head like you
that's
don't
Kesha.
Care when you ask me where I'm from.
Oh, she's not sexy. That's running, baby. Yeah, that's her right there.
That's my very underwhelmed face.
Yes. But yeah, so that was my dilemma. It's like, dude, do you want to stick around and watch? But the Glorious Sons tonight, and they got this new song, which kicks ass. Nice. I really love this song.
I want to be normal. I want to be sane. I want to look at you and feel something other than pain. I need shelter, safe haven. I want a quiet place to go and wait out the rain. I want a woman. I want a job. I got an itch coming on again. Trouble again. I want to wake up and feel love. Will you look me in the eyes? Tell me I'm not dying. I'm losing it. I'm not prepared for this. I'm tired. I'm sick. I wish you all to embrace me. I'm wired. I'm lit.
That's a new song from the Glorious Sons, which apparently was inspired by him seeing a stray cat, and he was wondering what like was going on in the mind of a stray cat, and he related to it.
Oh.
And then he wrote the song based off of that.
That's kind of cool. Feed them and or snuggle them.
Yes.
That would work.
Then I know exactly what's going on in their minds.
Well, this cat was having a panic attack.
They're purring and making eye contact.
I wish the strays around our place would do that, man. We got a couple of cute kitties that won't be bothered with us.
Tony and I have they adopted it in, but we call the cat Visit. We named it Visit.
That's awesome.
When we first moved into the house, it would just appear like, and when I say appear like, on the windowsill.
Poof.
Like you'd look out your window and there's this cat. And it's like, oh, nice. Super friendly, no collar, no one claimed it, and it would always hang out kind of my house and the neighbor's house, and so finally winter was coming, our first winter there. And
was that Game of Thrones reference?
Yeah, winter is coming. Yeah, seriously, it's coming this time. I'm not even kidding.
For real, guys.
No, it's coming. It's south of the wall. Bundle up. It's going to get bad. But anyway, we had decided, like, because winter was coming, that... if they didn't take in the cat, we were. So we went over and talked to the neighbors, like, look, that cat that always hangs around, super friendly, really sweet.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys don't adopt it, we're going to. And Lori, the neighbor's wife, was like, well, we're going to adopt it. The kids love it. But I don't know what, the Cat in the House. So they built it like this big outdoor heated shelter.
Oh, yeah, it's a catio.
Yeah, it's got this total catio, like, you
catio.
Know.
Catio.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Gig, right? Like, when we lose our power, that cat's still warm.
Right.
But Visit still hangs out in my yard all the time, and uh-huh. we still call her Visit. The kids next door named it Peace.
But that's not Peace. Its name.
Goddamn cat's name is Visit.
No. Yeah, that means she's my cat, War.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, they mean it Peace, so we Peace. Visit. But literally, I'll pull in my yard and be like, hi, Visit! And Visit comes up and rubs on me. And
oh, yeah. That's funny.
Yeah, no, Visit's like sort of our cat, but not officially.
I have that same experience with Visit, but it's a dancer at Deja Vu.
Ah, Visit. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it comes around when you've got a couple bucks, eh?
Right.
Yeah, sure.
If I was a stripper, I think my name would be Expensive. Hi, I'm Expensive.
Well, you know what you're getting.
I'd want to go by, like, Sick.
Yeah, I am Sick.
On the center stage is Sick.
Value.
Or you want to.
You can guess how.
Or you can mess with all the other strippers. Like, coming up to the main stage, it's 2-for-1.
Or,
no,
dude, or Stan.
Oh, yes. Stan. Who the hell's Stan? Oh. I've got the weirdest chubby right now.
You want a lap dance?
No.
Weirdest chubby. Yeah.
I was born a girl. I just have a really, really deep voice.
What's up?
How you
notice
doing?
There's no Adam's apple.
Mm-hmm.
See, my hands are petite.
Oh, you don't like petite. Me? I'll send one of the other dancers over. Her name's Marcus.
That would be funny if strippers had like boy names. Jonathan.
Well, then
hi, I'm Jonathan. Would you like a dance?
It's even worse. Like at work Monday, like, man, I got 3 dances from this amazing stripper named Jonathan.
Right.
And everyone's like,
excuse me?
Dude.
Well,
some you want to share?
I mean, good for you.
I mean,
but
all good, but you know, no. She wasn't like that. Oh, okay, she wasn't like that. Gotcha.
She pulled this amazing trick where she put my hand on her throat, and I felt an Adam's apple. And she's, I'm like, that's amazing. How did you do that?
Swallowed a golf ball, got stuck. They bored a hole through it. Now I'm on a juice diet.
It was one of those Asian, those teas, bubble teas,
bubble tea. I've never had a bubble tea.
They're the worst. They're so nasty.
Yeah, I don't get.
Do you like tapioca in your drinks?
No.
Then you wouldn't like a bubble tea. Because it's exactly what it is.
The thing is, the juice itself is delicious. So you're like, yeah. Oh, this is so good. But they give you those fat straws so that the bubble, the
chunks
balls.
Of poo.
So it's like this ball.
The fish eyes.
And it just kind of pops into your mouth. And then I'm like, well, now I get why some certain women are not happy when you do certain things to them. Like, it's unsuspected.
You need to eat more strawberries.
Yeah, it's like an unsuspected thing that just pops
cut back
into
on
your
the
mouth.
Coffee and asparagus, bro.
I thought you liked that. Hey.
Jesus.
We have so much to talk about. We have so many emails and voicemails. I mean, it's almost like we could do an email, voicemail, text message spectacular. But there are a few things I want to definitely get to before we get to that. Real quick, I want to give a shout out to people who came out to Portland last Sunday. I wrestled at DOA Wrestling. I made my debut. I lost.
How'd that go, man?
Oh, so good. It's so much fun. The crowd, at first, they come out because they don't know who I am.
No.
I mean, a few people do that, like, know Defy Wrestling, or some people, like, listen. Met a few people that listen to the podcast.
I've been meeting a lot.
Nice.
Like, past 2 weekends out, I've met some brand new faces that are podcast listeners.
Yeah.
And they come up and introduce
shout
me.
Shout out. Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazingly cool to meet podcast fans out and about. It's really the coolest thing.
I don't know about you, but I geek out way more about that than if like someone is a fan of the radio show. Like,
yeah.
I'm just like, oh, that's awesome because it's such a smaller
and this
number
is a
of people.
A little more underground.
And now we're in Portland and I'm meeting Migscast listeners, which I thought was pretty cool.
That is really neat.
The coolest.
But I come out. So there's a couple people that knew I would are clapping, but I'm, you know, local celebrity Steve Migs. So at first, people were just kind of looking at me like a little dumbfounded because I'm like, just kind of like giving
them
the look.
We don't know who you are yet.
Right. But I come out and my whole thing is like the minute I walk out, I just look visibly annoyed by everybody in the room. Like I'm like, ugh.
It's Portland.
Why am I here? But I got my my verified championship belt. And so then people are looking at that like, what the hell's going on? Now I'm sitting on an apron putting it in people's faces like, take a picture of this and hashtag verified champ. Still, people don't get what's going on. So the ring announcer announced me like from Seattle, Washington, Steve Migs. And then I had police escort with me because I don't trust the people of Portland. So
it's a good call.
Officer
it's
Dean Cooper.
Great call.
Yeah. So I tell him, like, get the microphone from the announcer. I grab the microphone. And I start, I'm like, don't you guys know who I am? And I hear somebody go in the back, and I can hear in the like in the corner, he goes, marginally okay drummer. And so I,
really?
Something along those lines.
Whoa.
Like, it was like he was saying, like, he was a very clever way of saying I'm a bad drummer, which I thought was hilarious, but I can't break character. So I turn around and go, Oh, yeah? You think Stone Temple Pilots is going to have a bad drummer play drums with them? That's right. I played drums with Stone Temple Pilots. And everyone's like, what the hell is going
on
here?
It's actually Eric Kretz that has said it. Eric Kretz is attending the match. And he's like, yeah, you're an okay drummer. Yeah. What's all this?
Still this man,
boo! So I start listening my accolades of being a radio star and all this. People are starting to boo me, and I'm just like, yeah, you guys should be happy that a celebrity's here in Portland and I'm verified. Now people are hating me, and then my opponent, Uncle Muscles, Alan Jepson, comes out. He starts doing his pose. I jump behind him. I neck break him, and then I start the match. And then it was a fun match. Like, I thought at first, you could tell, like, it reminds me a lot of music. You're a brand new band playing in front of a brand new audience.
So you gotta win them over.
Yeah. Yeah. In my situation, I gotta get them to hate me, which is a little bit different than what you, unless you're G.G. Allen. I bet that was kind of his plan.
People still loved him. Figure that out.
Right. And
I'm going to eat some feces. People were like, cool, I'm down.
I tried that and people cheered that. That was weird.
People even threw more at me. I don't even know what to make of it.
So as the match went on, I could tell they were progressively starting to hate me. At one point, like, I'm raking the eyes of my opponent. The ref's now yelling at me. And I'm trying to understand why I can't rake eyes, because I think it's okay in Seattle. I don't understand why Portland doesn't like that. Then Officer Cooper, unbeknownst to me, but I saw it in the video later, he handcuffed Uncle Muscle to the ropes and started beating on him while I was learning the rules of Portland.
Oh, yeah.
After that, they were kind of on board for hating me.
Yeah,
and
you're
so
the worst.
When Alan and I, when Cooper and I got like noggin knocked, people started cheering. I got suplexed back in the ring. People are starting cheering. And I'm like, all right.
This is working.
So at the end of the day, it was a fun, like, you know, 9-minute match or something like that.
That's cool, man.
And all the other wrestlers that I'd never met before were super cool. Because that's also nerve-wracking in wrestling. You always hear these war stories and these horror stories of, like, you go to this locker room and everyone's, like, a jerk to the new people, you know? So I'm
you
going
walk in.
In,
the record scratches, and you're hi, guys.
What some of them only know about me is that I'm this delusional douchebag radio guy that thinks he's a superstar. So, you know, I'm walking in like, oh boy.
Hey, guys.
Like, they're going to think
it's a character. I'm a nice fella.
Right. Oh, dude, they were all awesome.
I've baked some snickerdoodles for everyone here.
I brought you guys pie.
Right? Yeah, you should bring in treats for everyone in the backstage.
Anyone want some snickerdoodles?
I brought orange slices. You guys want some orange slices?
Juice boxes for everyone.
Yeah, dude.
So there were so many wrestlers. I don't want to, like, shout out everybody, because I've worked with a lot of people that were there, like some local guys. But I do want to, like, give a little love to some of the people I just met for the first time and could not be nicer. Like, I left there going, I want to come back here. I hope I get to get.
Yeah, I was
going to
ask if you're returning to that market.
I hope so. It's up to the booker.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, if the fans demand the local celebrity, and hopefully they do, and they let DOA Wrestling know that they need more Migs in their life, I hope that they bring me back. But Malcolm Flex was an awesome dude. Also, Julian, he was a great guy. Julian White.
Malcolm Flex.
And CJ Edwards, they're called Konami Code. You will love them.
Up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, select star.
They had Nintendo remote control gear. Like, it looked like the controllers on their wrist.
Right.
Wow. Yeah, dude.
Well, cool. Konami, like, that's like a, you know, like the fact that you just chanted that.
Yeah.
That's almost sort of a, depending on your age, you're not going to get that reference, but I think it's brilliant, especially if they have Nintendo controllers and stuff on there.
Yeah, and
that
they were awesome.
Bomb.
Yeah.
CJ
and Julian were amazing, and they were the champions. They lost to No Lives Matter, which is also a great name.
Right? I hope they're bad guys.
Yeah, the devil Drexel and Doc Cleaver. You would love those guys, Rev. Drexel's a former radio guy, too.
Really?
He did radio at a top 40 station in Portland. But if you meet him, he looks like the devil.
And for those of you that know that Drexel apparently didn't die in the film True Romance.
That's right.
He lived on to become a wrestler.
In Portland. Marcus,
after a brief career in radio.
Marcus Malone's an awesome dude. He's got a Bruce Leroy, you know, the Last Dragon.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, at some points, like, but he's more of Shonoff. He's got the big afro. And at one point, I think he even says, who's your master? I think I heard him say. Marcus Malone is freaking awesome. The 4-Minute Heat guys, everybody else, the students that I met. It was cool. Like, a couple of the guys were like, dude, I've never seen a character like yours. That was amazing.
Cool,
because,
man,
I'm just this guy. And, like, and the Twitter belt, oh, my gosh. Like, so that was pretty
got
cool.
Got over? Yes.
Yeah. So I just want to thank everybody, all the fans that came out, and hopefully I'll be back the next time they need me.
Yeah,
I'm available.
I hope you get to go back, you know.
But
sounds like you had a fun trip.
I never experienced such an adrenaline dump. Like, I mean, I've gotten to do some really cool things. Like, you and I have gotten to do some cool things where, like, the adrenaline's flying, and then when you're done, you're just like, oh, I'm tired. all of us, like, I was just like, okay, I'm not the only one. Because at one point, I thought I was going to fall asleep. Like, once the adrenaline stopped,
wow.
Yeah.
I was just ready to shut it down.
Yep.
And I was getting, like, at first, I was like, did I get a concussion? Like, I feel like I'm going to pass out. And I'm like, no, I didn't get a concussion.
You're just coming down, dude.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. Somebody even texted asking, hey, what, and I mentioned it on my Twitter because I texted the morning show. They're like, what's the hardest thing about wrestling? I've been enjoying watching your journey into the world of wrestling. But what so far, the person said, I like knowing the magic behind the scenes. And honestly, the hardest thing about wrestling for me is biting my tongue, which sounds funny.
I saw that tweet.
Yeah, because I don't mean it in an opinionated matter. Like, I'm not like afraid to say what I think.
You're scared of biting your tongue.
Literally every match I've had, I bite down my tongue.
That's, don't do that.
Yeah.
No.
That's a bad thing.
Because you're going to end up in the good morning. Yeah. This is Dave
Miggs. Exactly. Yeah. Right. I mean, you're going to have a big fat tongue when you come back on a Monday. Yep.
I've done that before where I've bit like a piece like where it's hanging.
This Steve, last one, don't, I, yeah, I don't
that.
Don't do that, bro.
I don't want to do that. I would love to not do that.
Keep your tongue in your face.
I'm going to get you a bit, dude. You need a mouthpiece.
The problem is,
right?
I have a bit.
I need to like get my tongue shaved down or something because my tongue is too fat for my mouth. That's the problem.
You know that Ryan apparently has an undersized tongue. Did you know that?
What?
Oh, you guys think I'm kidding.
How did you find out?
Ryan's wife told him.
Dude, honestly, the opportunities that I had, maybe I shouldn't be sharing this. The opportunities that I had.
I'm asking him that tonight when we get dinner.
I was going to give him so much grief. But no, Ryan had a thing where they had, I think they went under and they cut a little bit of that tendon that anchors your tongue to the bottom of your mouth because his tongue was too shallow and it was causing breathing issues. And
whoa.
And this is not a joke. And it was all like, yeah, dude, my tongue is too far back and they had to fix it. And he's like, dude, and I was really worried because I make my career
talking.
And immediately I was like, make sex jokes. And I was then the other voice went, this is your friend. Shut your mouth and offer support.
So you're saying I'm a bad friend.
Yeah. I think I made one or two wife jokes.
Yeah,
and then there is a sex toy called the tongue. And it's just a wand and it has a wiggling tongue on the end of it. And I wanted to buy one, paint it gold.
Yeah.
And then give it to Ryan and be like, here, man, I know that you need this. And as a friend, you know, like, I wanted to help you out in this way.
That is funny.
Oh, yeah, look at the mini tongue. That's nice.
Yeah, I'm not making this up. Like, I can't believe you guys didn't know that.
No wonder why he doesn't like playing Kiss songs.
Should I not have shared this? Maybe we should ask Ryan if this needs to be edited out.
I can't imagine he's going to have an issue with the little tongue story.
Nope.
Well, I think his tongue is normal, but the way it's attached down in there, it's too far back in. It was causing him health problems. It really was.
At least he doesn't have the baby teeth.
Oh, God.
Have you ever seen that?
With the weird little chicklet?
Like I knew a radio chick that had that, and I mean, it doesn't look weird until like they tell you, and then it's just weird to know. But then, like, it doesn't like look weird on somebody. But some people, they have not lost their baby teeth, and so their teeth are a little bit smaller.
They look like Pennywise when they smile. Time to float.
I feel bad if someone who's listening has a small tongue and baby teeth. They're gonna be like, "I hate you guys. I hope you bite your tongue."
By the way, I'll be right over with some applesauce and pudding. But we all float down here.
Have you ever?
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to Glorious Suns tonight.
I just like. Have you ever seen any of the pictures of a child's skull with the baby teeth or the big teeth?
You trying to give me an erection.
But it's like it has all the baby teeth and then all the adult teeth above it.
Oh,
and so weird. I've never seen that.
Like the x-rays and stuff.
I've never seen that.
Creepy.
So they form above and then push down through.
Yeah, yeah. And that's how that's the reason why they fall out because the older ones are coming through.
Whoa.
And it's terrifying.
Damn.
Yeah.
It's like the, so that's the equivalent of our larvae stage.
Yeah.
You know, like, don't bother Glenn right now. He's pupae currently. He'll be emerging soon, healthy, fit, and ready to take on the world.
A beautiful butterfly.
It looks like a slimy blanket someone threw in the corner of my carport. It's like, no. That's Glenn. He's malting.
Man. Somehow you've managed to make me want to puke, I think three times so far in this episode.
Give me a good papa hug.
This is the perfect episode. I said shout out to also Eric Wright and Aiden Reyes, if I haven't. Those are other guys that wrestled.
Shout it out.
Say hi
to way
them.
To redirect, Steve.
Cool. Yeah. From baby teeth back to DOA professional wrestling.
There you go.
But if you live in the Portland area, definitely check out DOA professional wrestling. Those guys put on great shows, and I had one of the most fun wrestling experiences that I ever had, and I've had a lot of really fun wrestling experiences. That says a lot about their promotion and the people that work behind there, and hopefully I've kissed their ass enough so that they invite me back.
Yeah, right on. Yeah.
How long have you been doing the wrestling? Has it been like 2 years?
April was my 1 year mark of my first match.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's about 2 years of training and stuff. And wrestling.
Okay, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Damn. That's cool, man.
It's pretty fun, man. And yeah, it was like, Yeah, I hope I get to do more. That would be cool, and I know I've got some stuff coming up that hopefully will be pretty awesome when I get to announce it.
It's one of those interesting things, too, because looking at it, I mean, you're doing all of this past 40.
Yeah.
And I just hit 40 this year, and it's one of those things where I'm
time
like...
Time to molt.
Dude, you know, it's like it was like 15 years ago, it's like, I'm not going to make it to 40, screw this, it's too old, blah, blah, blah. And you get here, and I'm like... Yeah, I can still do a whole bunch of stuff. Yep. I've done more stuff this year
than
I have in like the last like 10 years.
Yeah,
so I keep telling people, I'm like, when they're like 30's been great, I'm like, wait till you hit 40. I know it sounds crazy, but 40 has been the best decade of my life.
Dude,
not even a question.
Same boat. Same boat here, man. Yeah, everything else was flailing, confusion, anger, and substance abuse.
Yeah.
And now suddenly I'm like, life is good.
I mean, granted,
I can do things.
My joints hurt a little bit more.
Yeah.
Like today my hip hurts. I don't know why. It's probably because I did a bulldog off the second rope and it finally kicked in.
Cool.
Yeah, cool on my hip.
That thing where you stand up though and you're like,
Yeah.
Yeah. Every once in a while it happens. You bend the wrong way.
Yeah, people are like,
you reach
wrong?
Behind
like,
you and suddenly your shoulder falls off.
Yeah,
I get that.
But I don't know about you guys. I'd rather have aches and pains and still feel like fulfilled in my life. Right
this
now.
Is good. Yeah. This is totally good. Oh, I'm good.
Well, good things are happening right now because in my hands I have Glenn Cannon's new record.
Yeah, look at that.
That's the physical
That's
copy
the physical
right there.
Copy,
That's
dude.
How we're going to have to play it right now. Is it working?
It sounds good that way.
It's not working at all. Come on, keep trying this.
Apply it directly to the forehead.
There we go. I'm going to give it one more shot. I'm just going to start scraping it against the microphone.
Oh, that's hot.
It works. It works.
Oh, look.
Whoa! It does. It works.
It's working.
Wow. You rub it hard enough and it'll play.
Yeah. It's going to keep spinning it.
Faster. Faster.
No, that's not a shaker.
That's the dub remix.
Yeah, that's the Kesha remix.
Yeah. Instead of Kesha, we just rub it against the mic.
No, I'd have Kesha probably on my record.
Yes.
It's rock and roll.
Yes.
I want to.
Turn the headphones up. Bloop, 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 bloop.
Yeah. There ain't no forgiveness now. I guess I never meant to get it wrong. Gonna tell a little story about the days long gone. Hell yeah.
Yeah. This is the first track off the new Glenn Cannon record called Days Long Gone. The
days long gone. Oh, yeah, see?
Yeah, see?
You said it better to me.
Yeah, Kesha. I had Kesha in. I caught Kesha a check. She came and did that. I need to memorize these lyrics before Friday.
Yeah. You think you got it all ready to go for the crocodile this Friday?
I'll be up there bump map just making stuff up.
Get yourself an iPad, put it in front of you.
Yeah.
It's like when we had our show at the tractor and I was talking to Malcolm. He's like, yeah, we got some new songs. I hope I don't screw up the lyrics. And he's like writing them down so he could. And I'm like, dude, if they're new songs, nobody knows the lyrics. Say whatever the F you want.
So you gotta
fold your arms and shake your head at him from the crowd like, that ain't right.
I know, I should have. I'm like, that's not how the song goes. Since we're talking a little bit about your record, I'm sure we're gonna play some more tracks off the record today to get everybody ready for the big show that's happening at the Crocodile. Friday night, Glenn Cannon, your whole band up there just melting people's faces. Yeah. And it's going to be also 10 miles wide are going to be there.
Yep.
And
Woodshed and Stoic FB.
Damn, what a lineup.
So, yeah, doors are at 7. The show will start at 8. And you have four killer bands.
All right, buddy. Oh, sorry.
Oh, I was finally able to see Woodshed live. For some reason, I've never had a chance.
At Shedfest.
Yeah, and like seriously, like played for 2 hours.
They are such a good time,
like,
dude.
So good.
I know.
So good.
So our buddy Sturgis, who's written some cool hip-hop songs and some stuff for us in the past.
Yeah.
I haven't heard from him in a minute, so it's pretty cool to hear from him. Says, I just listened to the show and Glenn's amazing song, Something So Sour, that we played last week.
Yeah.
It struck me with his vocal changes and variances, kind of like a Chris Stapleton song, which is high praise
thanks,
in my opinion.
Dude. Yeah.
Then my brain went into collaboration. I wondered which artist would be your favorite artist to sing a song with. For me, Tech N9ne and Justin Furstenfield from Blue October would be a masterpiece.
That's cool.
Much yeah. love, Glenn, and your new record from start to finish is a head bobber.
Oh,
my
thanks.
My favorite song would have to be The Long and Lonely Hard Goodbye.
Yeah,
we'll have to play that one.
People
then.
Are getting into that. That's cool.
Fantastic work in everything you do. Much love again from Montana. Keep pushing and stay positive from Sturgis.
Dude, thanks, brother. Thanks a lot, man.
So yeah. you're doing a collaboration. You're picking one artist other than Keisha.
To sing with? Keisha. Man, to sing with, maybe Ian Thornley of Big Wreck. Man, that's tough, right?
Yeah.
To sing with. It'd be cool to do something. Eddie Vedder's got a cool
voice.
Oh, my
gosh.
You know, right? It'd be great to do something
okay.
with him.
He's decent.
No, I'm just, honestly, it's weird. I'm thinking about
he's decent.
What could, because he and I are both baritone tenors, whereas Thornley has that Cornell high range. So immediately when you say to do something with, I'm thinking, what can I really do something with? That's why I jumped to Ian Thornley, because he's got this amazing Chris Cornellish high range.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm thinking of all the harmonies we could do. I went right to that, like, what could we really do is where I went. Like, because, I don't often... You know,
I mean,
like,
Michael Anthony from Van Halen, if you're going down that road.
Right,
I can't, but dude, that guy.
Yeah, no.
He's the heart and soul of Van Halen with those high.
Right?
I mean, people don't realize how important he was to that band, the bassist of Van Halen. He did all the high stuff.
All the high harmonies.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I hate to say it, too, but, you know, dating myself, a lot of the artists that I'm really into aren't doing much anymore or are no longer.
What about Dave Mustaine?
They're no longer with us.
Yeah, let's do
you
some
Dave.
I can
some
harmonize
he has throat cancer
you.
Now.
Yeah,
that's not even a joke.
Cancer. I know
Hello,
he's
me.
Right.
It's me again.
He got it from having a little tongue.
Hey, listen, about that $20.
That's wrong. We love you, Dave.
That was wrong. But still wrong.
What's bad, too, is, hey, Castle, can you slip me a little tongue?
Now
he's going to get mad at me. We got to make sure he's cool with that. No, that's a tough question, man. I mean, honestly, when you said it, a couple artists bounced into my head, now they bounced right back out. But, as far as someone I think I could really do something unique and cool with, got to be dope to do something with, like, Tori Amos.
I was thinking
that
about, like, a Fiona Apple.
Right, yeah.
Is Fiona Apple still around?
Oh, she had, dude, barely putting out music. I actually just recently searched for this. She put out some kind of thing for a she did some kind of compilation song, like, last year. But before that, she hasn't put out stuff in forever.
Yeah, we had this conversation before the Tractor Show. Steve produced this amazing photo of him with Fiona Apple.
Yeah.
And I always thought of Fiona Apple as
attractive. How long ago?
When I had hair.
It was like 95 or something. But no.
Okay, yeah.
You look at the photo.
It's a good.
And what I saw on Amos, I put it on media. I'm like, what's funny to me is you look at Steve. He's got a good color to his skin. He looks happy and healthy. You look at Fiona, and she looks like she's at the end of a 7-day bender. She's ghost white.
Oh, yeah.
She has.
Yeah.
I have that effect on women.
Around her eyes is just. Like, but I looked at him like, Fiona looks like she's on her way out, and Steve looks like. You know,
was she the one with the criminal song?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Bad girl.
It reminds me, like that. Just reminds me of that video.
She had some amazing songs, actually.
Oh, but yeah.
You know what the problem? I think she was
did
just
a killer cover of Across the Universe, as I recall, as well.
I think she was just creeped out being standing next to a guy who had flames on the sleeves of his shirts.
Oh, nothing wrong with that.
That was that era. It was okay.
It was. I had those.
That was my. I think I look cool shirt.
Yeah, I had those.
It was the, they were like.
She's like, I think I'm with a creeper.
They were like work shorts, but they were satin, and they usually had fire on them.
Yep. Yes.
And that was in vogue for like 5 years.
Oh, dude, yeah. I had
some of those.
I had those. I call those my fat shirts.
Your fat shirts?
Yeah, they were the ones I would wear over my t-shirt, so it would cover it, so I would look less fat. Because
then almost every garment I have is a fat shirt.
Yeah, well,
I love that shirt so much.
Button up.
That when I realized that style was gone, like it was, I'm like, Stevie, you look stupid with flames on your sleeves. I took black Sharpie and blacked out the flames,
oh, Jesus,
so I could keep wearing that shirt.
Nice.
And then every time I washed it, the flames would show up
you
again.
To do your flames
it like,
again.
It was like herpes of the shirt sleeve.
You could have dyed it, but why would you do that?
Herpes,
you
know, like, of the shirt sleeves.
That might be the name of this.
shirt sleeve herpes.
You know what artist I thought would be a cool collaboration. Grant, I don't sing, so I have to be with you. But I recently talked about her, JJ Wild. I saw her open up for the Glorious Sons. She just put out her EP, which is called Steady Hands.
I remember hearing that track that you played, and it was cool.
Very powerful.
Dude, this song is actually really cool. I'll only play a little bit of it. It's a lot more chill than the one I played, but it's just her voice is so damn good.
The pieces made them fall.
know if we were talking about that on mic or off mic, but what I dig about this is it's the production value.
Yeah, me too.
This sounds like, and I hate to put it this way, this sounds like real music. No one did anything with it's not auto-tune, there's not a bunch of sequencers, not a bunch of synthesizers. Yep. Some of that newer, modern pop rock crossover stuff.
Yep.
To me, it's not that the song's bad. Some of the lyrical content's a bit meh, but you know what? Look at some of the stuff some of my favorite artists sing about, right? Like lyrical content, as long as it's fun and kitschy and catchy and you're involving people, great.
Sure.
Right? And even some of the lyrical content on my record is just that, just fun and who cares and it's whimsy and who cares.
Sometimes you don't want to overthink it.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the production value of that is warm and natural and it sounds like humans making music.
You feel like you're in the room with her.
And that's where some of this pop rock crossover loses me.
Too polished.
It becomes so slick that I'm like, oh, well, this is amazing. Andy Moore record now.
It's you almost know like what a I mean? Robot like, made this
yeah,
record.
Yeah, it loses me. That's what I dig about when I'm here and there is that sounds warm and inviting. It sounds like music made by people.
Yeah.
And I'm really into that. And you can do, I mean, God, even some of Dre's stuff came off warm and it sounded like it was made by people. Mm-hmm. It's not about genre. It's about production value, if that makes sense. That's why...
Most of the newer rock that comes out, that's why I think I love the Glorious Sons as much as I do, because it's like there's like almost imperfections at time in like the drums.
Music made by people.
Right. It's human sounding.
Oh,
like
dude,
you said.
Yeah. And that's just like Def Leppard, for example. Mm-hmm. A lot of my friends and peers love Def Leppard. Even back then, I couldn't get into it. I just could not get into it because it's so slick and so overproduced that I can't connect with it.
I think the stuff that they put out before Hysteria... I hate to say this, before the drummer lost his arm, was like sounded a little bit more organic. You know what I mean? Like Pyromania, it's like that's a good rock and roll record.
Yeah.
And but then when all of a sudden they had to bring in some electronic drums, and then I think the electronic drums maybe forced them to get a little bit more produced.
Well, and I think at the time too, like that was cutting edge.
Oh, yeah.
No one had heard anything like that at the time. The problem is you fast forward 6-7 years and it's dated. Because those electronic drum sounds and those things were of that era. But at the time, it was the coolest thing you could possibly do. You listen to it now, and it immediately is dated.
It's almost like 80s new wave. At one point, that sounded cool, and then when
still
you get out of the 80s,
cool.
Still sounds cool.
Well, it's weird. Now at this cycle of my life, I listen back on it now, and there's a charm to it that I love.
Yeah.
But for a time, I found it to be kind of unlistenable. Now I circle back to it. I'm like, no, this is actually a lot of fun, right? But it's that production value thing, man. You'll lose me pretty quick depending on how something, if something's way too slick or the other end of it. Also, I remember Tony gave me the first Black Label Society record. He was like, "You need to hear this." I'm like, "Thanks, bro." And it was so raw.
It's too much.
And it sounded like everything had a layer of fuzz on it, even the voice. Like the whole record to me sounded like this.
Put one microphone in the middle of the room and he just yelled into it.
And I gave it back to Tone. I'm like, bro, I couldn't listen to this. And he was like, dude, what? And I'm like, brother, I'm sorry, man. It just sounds like S.
Yeah.
I can't listen to this. And man, I'm a big movie freak.
Mm-hmm.
That translates to movies too. Movies that sound bad. Like old movies, people are like, dude, have you ever seen Casablanca? I'm like, I have a hard time watching it. And they're like, what? I'm like, it sounds like S.
Yep.
I can't watch the film because it's, and people are like, what do you mean you can't watch a movie because it sounds bad?
I'm with you, dude.
And I'm like, bro, I'm sorry. It sounds horrible. And those old movies, everyone's voice kind of sounds like this. And I'm sorry, but no one talks like this. Not even in the 1940s, bub. Let me tell you something. No one talked like this ever. No one ever really spoke this way.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm like, I can't, how am I going to connect to this, dude?
Yeah.
You know, Alien Anal Probes are more like, well, okay.
Excuse me.
That was a great band, man. When they did that cover of Smooth Criminal. Oh, wait, Alien Ant.
Alien Ant Farm.
Sorry, my bad.
Anyway. No, I didn't mean to go on a tear. I heard her music and I went, I love the way this sounds.
Oh, I want you to hear another song. I'm obsessed with her, dude.
Yeah,
it's like J.J. Wild.
It sounds
with an E at the end.
So warm and so good.
This one's a pretty cool rocker.
Yeah, listen to that. Just that guitar tone is a riot. I'm instantly into it.
Right?
It sounds good.
Yeah.
You got the John Lennon slap echo going on her voice. It's real subtle, but... It's like, you got a clap track, but that doesn't sound like a synth clap track.
Right.
It sounds to me like they probably went in and clapped
it. The whole band's clapping in front of a microphone.
Yeah, see, I dig this. It sounds good.
Yeah.
If she did, I don't know how I would keep it together. I don't know how I It's the That's cool.
That's my favorite part, yeah. I wanted to hear that. But yeah, dude. It's good stuff, man. Good stuff. JJ yeah. Wilde, W-I-L-D-E. The EP is called Wild Eyes, Steady Hands. Check it out. Cool. I think she's going to, I think there are
she's going
things.
Places.
I think
yeah.
so.
I, mean, I dig it.
Yeah, yeah.
I dig
good
it.
Good production, good vibe. But Sturgis mentioned the song off of your record, and I figured, you know, let's get people pumped.
All right, yeah.
For
Thank
the
you.
Crocodile. Hell yeah. I know you were on Loud Local. That was pretty awesome
yeah,
with Kevin.
I had a great hang with Kevin, definitely, you, and had Louie and Lance
Louie
up.
Louie and Lance, yep.
We chatted and played some tracks. And
Louie and Lance, Thursdays
it
on
was
NBC.
Cool. That's right. I know, right? Yeah, we should do that. But it was cool, too, because, you know, on Loud and Local, and I think I've gotten to discuss it a bit here, but I really got to talk about, because a lot of people have said, what's going on with Windowpane? And they're worried that, did Windowpane break up and what's happening? And it's like, no, dude, like, everything's cool.
Everything happens.
We just pumped
when it
the
happens.
Brakes. And yeah. I literally was like, man, Tony's probably going to be sitting where I'm sitting in 6-8 months. Playing you his new stuff, and he's happy, and he's excited, and I'm happy, mm-hmm. and I'm excited. So, you know, all the Windowpane fans, like, don't panic.
Right.
Everything's cool.
Right. When the time is right, we're
yeah,
back.
Yeah, we're just, yeah.
I'm speaking like I'm their manager.
No, but that's,
well, you are.
That's on point,
you know
man.
That?
You know,
yeah.
there was a lot of stuff, and really, like, Tony and I were the kind of survivors of the whole thing. Chris was new. Noah's very new. So, really, it was down to what Tony and I needed and some stuff he and I needed to work out and what was making us happy and what wasn't. And it's like, hey, man, let's just step away and mm-hmm. like, you know, we've had some great hangs since. And yeah, it's don't anyone worry about Windowpane, man. If the band didn't disintegrate or blow up or implode, it just it's on pause, man.
Yeah,
it wasn't going anywhere,
which is okay. I mean, you guys were grinding nonstop, 24/7, 365.
Well, we were off mic, but I was like, Kevin, you got to realize that I started that band before my bass player and drummer were born.
Yeah.
And Kevin,
wow.
Kevin was like, oh, and I'm like, yeah. And as Tony put it, when we were having one of our big meetings, it's like, I've never taken a trip to Disneyland. I've never taken a vacation. I've never stopped
mm-hmm.
ever.
Right.
You know? And it's like, I've been doing that band and pushing it with all I had since before those guys were born, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was time for Daddy to just, let's put that on the shelf for a minute
yep.
and go do something else that's exciting.
When
so,
the urge hits, it'll happen.
Yeah,
it'll be even better because
good.
Of the
I
sometimes
agree.
Absence
yeah,
makes yeah. the heart grow fonder,
Absolutely.
Not only for the bandmates, but for the fans.
But I'm pushing this hard, man. I've got this thing booked clear into September. I've got four festival shows I'm doing this over the course of the summer. I just put up a July calendar, but and then I'm trying to build a fall tour right now, so I'm swinging the bat really hard on this, and now that we actually, the records literally came over the weekend, I actually have records. There it is. Proof.
Watch out, you might start playing it randomly.
Merch is on the way. I'm praying I get merch in time for the release party. I think I should.
This Friday, no pressure.
This Friday, no pressure. Oh, dude, it's a white-knuckled express.
Yeah.
But I'm pushing this really hard, man. I'm excited about it, and so far everyone that's heard it's been excited about it. So,
well, let's spin another record. Like Sturgis, he's a fan of the Long and Lonely Hard Goodbye, so I got to hit this 6 times. Track 6.
Oh. Okay. I was wondering how that was going in there.
Steve will open it up. Yep. His CD will be shattered from bouncing.
Rub it
on the
a
mic.
Little bit. There we go.
I think I'm going to be able to start this thing.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. Track 6 off the new Glenn Cannon record. Devil in the Sunshine's the name of the record. The song is called The Long and Lonely Hard Goodbye. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There you go.
Hell yeah, my man. Hell yeah.
It's
records
cool.
out now.
Yeah, dude. That's one of those things like that. Actually, I wrote that song, good God, 15, 16, 17 years ago.
See, I was going to say, I remember when this band first, the initial incarnation of your solo stuff was the Glenn Cannon Blues Trio.
Yeah.
And I was like, I felt like when I heard that song, I'm like, I bet this was part of the blues trio part before you started realizing, you know, I don't want to be boxed into just being a blues
trio. Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And I'd written that song, it's been around for a long time, but it was never right for Windowpane. And really what it was for me when I initially came up with it, it was I wanted something that had the elements of Led Zeppelin Since I've Been Loving You. So there's a real obvious guitar hook that repeats after each verse, and then there's a big explosive bridge and an extended solo. And so that was my inspiration for writing that. What's cool is by the time we got done, like with Lance's Rhodes patch, when it first comes in, you're almost hearing like 70s era Tom Petty meets like somewhere between, you know, Billy Gibbons, Robin Trower, and Jimmy Page. Mm-hmm. So it comes off like a ZZ Top ballad. It comes off like Since I've Been Loving You. You know, it comes off like something off of Bridge of Sighs because I've got Univibe all over my guitar. But then what's cool is when we hit the big bridge, because of what the rhythm section does, it almost bounces into the realm of like a Muse song for a minute.
Yeah.
So you get all these fantastic flavors out of, initially, I just wanted to do something that to me felt like Led Zeppelin Since I've Been Loving You.
That's cool.
And then, of course, to land on the other side of it and be like, man, I'm hearing like, that Rhodes in the intro so reminds me of like Breakdown or some of those great early 70s Petty songs that were driven by the Fender Rhodes.
Yep.
And you've got that flavor, but you've got all these other flavors. And then by the middle of it, it's like we played that song out in State Line, Idaho towards the end of the set. And that was the song. Like everyone was just kind of standing there like, what am I seeing? Which was really cool for the four of us because we're like, okay, this is connecting. This is working. Mm-hmm. We played that song. It felt like someone sucked all the oxygen out of the room. Like, everyone was just standing there like, whoa, you know, and then I sing that big note at the end and the whole band crescendos in, and we got done with that one, and those people were just, you know, like, blown away.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things, like, I didn't know how well a piece of music like that would connect, because to me, it's the blues, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, apparently it ended up becoming more than that, accidentally, just because I'm working with some great musicians.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, man? But just to see that people are responding to what I thought of as a blues song, and it's like, well, people that like guitar playing and people that like the blues will like this, but it seems to have a much broader appeal.
Well,
so that's it's exciting,
yeah,
man.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, it's exciting.
It's got to be cool to finally have something that's been sitting around in your world and in your headspace
forever.
For 15 years finally have it recorded, produced, and forever in your hands.
Yeah, and to have come out so well, too, man. And
yeah.
Even you talk about production value, like, you know, there's a lot of things that are very intentional. Rock music, most pop music, I call it big singer, tiny band. Most modern music does that, where the voice is way out in front and the band's kind of quiet in the background. I mean, most popular music's like that. I sort of hate that.
Yeah.
To me, it makes the band sound small, giant singer, tiny band. AC/DC's Back in Black, if you listen to that, like Brian Johnson's voice is tucked way back in the mix, and it makes the band sound and feel huge.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of those things that Brett and I discussed at the outset of this. I'm like, and he's like, I want to put your voice forward because we want to push this record and people are going to need to be able to, it can't be buried like, you know, McCartney on Say It's Your Birthday. You listen to that. The voice is the quietest thing.
He wants people to be able to hear the lyrics.
Yeah. Like we have to, it has to be contemporary. And he's like, but we'll find a balance. And I think we did. Mm-hmm. The other thing, production value wise, if you listen at the end, when I'm singing those big notes, you can hear my guitar going,
Yeah.
Nice.
And I love that. And Brett could have gone in and cleaned that up and edited it and made it perfect, but it's intentionally left.
Yeah.
These four human beings performed this album, and that's an electric guitar through a couple Marshall stacks wound way up with a Univibe. Yeah. And so when I'm resting and I'm singing those big notes, you can hear it just going. And I love that, man. To me, that's ear candy. Like, you know, most modern records, they do everything they can to eliminate that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Whereas, again, with Brett and I, it was like a record made by people. Let's make it sound organic. If the guitar buzzes, let it. If Lance's keyboard ending ends before the guitar fades out. Let it.
It's like, okay.
Let it be a record right. made by people, because you just don't hear that anymore. And hopefully all that's old is new, and people will hear that and be excited about, because the record doesn't sound raw, but it sounds performed. It yeah. doesn't sound polished.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or if it sounds polished, it's just because Lance, Louie, and Jeff are really, really good, and yeah. I can hide behind them. You know what I mean? Yeah. Anyway,
but
sorry.
You're a turd and they're polishing you?
Yeah, that's yeah. pretty much.
Nice.
Pretty much,
that.
Dude. Yeah.
That's okay. They did a
yeah.
good job then.
You know, like, I'm the Kermit. They're the guys that are control. Nice. You know, they're propping me up.
Yeah, I'm with you, though. Like, even with on the Bruiser Brody record, there are times I listen to stuff, like, especially, like, Nothing You Need, and you can, or... I think it's nothing. No, everyone's dead. You can hear me just kind of using, tapping my foot. You don't hear me tapping, but you hear the bass drum
yeah.
that's not being hit in the beginning of the song, but I'm like just kind of pressing into the bass drum pedal.
To keep your tempo.
Just to kind of like, that's just how I play. It's not like, had I known I was doing that, I probably wouldn't have done that in the recording.
And most guys go in and they clean all that up, clean it.
But I'm so glad he didn't, because it almost creates like a heartbeat.
Yeah, Brett's whole thing yeah. is, nah, man, let's not. You know, with especially with Pro Tools, and Pro Tools has come so far.
Yeah, you could clip like, anything.
Dude, and even some of this, the tape sims they have now are actually, they do a better job than even real tape at this mm-hmm. point. I mean, it's come that far. But with Pro Tools, yeah. you can clean, fix, trim, and perfect anything.
Yep.
And Brett's whole thing is, nah, man, my favorite records
have weird sound.
Didn't do that.
Yeah.
And so let's put records out. And so, yeah, he did the same approach with Bruiser Brody, which is let it be natural.
Mm-hmm.
Not if it's distracting, then we won't have that.
If it's a glaring error.
But yeah, sure. You know, if it's just those subtleties.
It's like a giant pimple, you put a little makeup
yeah,
on it.
Yeah, 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 a little cover up. Yeah. But all the subtleties that people don't realize they're hearing, but it's what makes those records real.
Mm-hmm.
All those great old records that we love to this day, and they're far from perfect, but that's part of what gives them all that character and flavor.
Yeah, if they went through Pro Tools, it wouldn't be the same.
Yeah, if you just...
Like
if you
perfectly
just,
trimmed it.
If you clean it all up, then what you have is something that's very clean, or anymore, most stuff's tracked to a grid and quantized, mm-hmm. and they get it perfect. And people, what's weird is people have grown used to hearing that.
Mm-hmm.
They're used to hearing, like, Disturbed records that are truly gridded out, and everything's perfect, and you hear it, and it rocks, and that's what rock sounds like. But then they hear Led Zeppelin and they're like, God, this is so cool. And they don't know why.
Yeah.
It's simply because it wasn't gridded out. It's not quantized. It's not perfect.
You can feel the heart and soul of the song.
Like, And I think, you know, you've got artists like the Black Keys and the Greta Van Fleet Boys. Yeah. And some of these people are swinging things back that way. And they're calling it lo-fi, or they're calling it throwback or whatever. But they're literally just going, hey, man, let's not put this on a grid. Let's not auto, like even Lord, that chick Lord got some flack because she was singing out of key here and there. And she's like, hey, look, I'm not auto-tuning my damn voice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a human
this
being.
This is an American Idol.
Yeah. I'm not cleaning this up. I'm not auto-tuning this. I'm not polishing this. I'm going to just sing this and, you know, blow me. And honestly, I love her for that. I think it's genius, dude. I think it's killer. Good for her.
And I think it's a good idea, too, because if you go to see a band like that live, you're not going to get that polished, and it's going to be a negative experience.
Well, and a lot of those bands or a lot of those artists will have playback running.
Yeah.
Or they'll have live auto-tuning going on.
Yeah.
Or they'll have playback on top of a live mic and the front of house. I know a really good friend of mine was doing monitors for Britney Spears early in her career when she was really exploding. So Britney Spears comes to town. He's like, Cannon, I'm coming through town with this big tour. You want to come down and hang out? I'm like, God, yeah, man. It'd be awesome to see you. He's like, I'm here with Britney Spears. I'm like, really?
What?
And he said she was just the coolest person in the world. So, all right. So we go down. We have many drinks. And then I got to sit at the side of house mix position and watch this Britney Spears show. But she had a full band on stage. And I'm like, so what's the deal? And he's like, the band is playing. The band is playing all this live. But there is playback going that the band has monitors as well. Like, the band could stop playing at any given moment, and you'd never know it. So it's blended between playback and live. But you're watching, you're like, man, all those musicians are playing. It's killer. And they are. But there's playback going the whole time, too.
That's so interesting.
And with her, he said, dude, anytime she's on the headset, she's lip syncing. If she has the handheld, she's actually singing. 50% of the
weird.
Show.
Wow.
That's cool. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Next time I see Britney Spears.
50% of the show, she was lip syncing. But when you watch the show, it's like, well, yeah, dude, she's dancing so much and doing this stuff.
It's absolutely a Broadway show.
She's entertaining. Yep. Like, I wasn't like, oh, she's not really singing. She's an entertainer.
She's not just staring at her shoes trying to sing a song.
Dude, you've got 30 people up there doing a synchronized dance. I'm not going to fault her for not belting it out. Right, dude?
Like, I always love when people get all pissed about that.
Yeah,
even with Kiss, I'm like, guys.
Kiss runs playback. I know that Aerosmith runs playback. Aerosmith runs playback.
Like, if we got what they really sounded like, live,
you don't want
you
that.
Would want your money back,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, not to be rude, but yeah. They're a bunch of 70-year-old dudes trying to do what they used to do when they were 30.
Yeah.
Like, cut them some slack. Did you have fun at the show? Was there fire and blood and giant risers and lasers?
Well, then that's the thing.
That's what you go to KISS for. You don't go for...
They are entertainers.
You go to be entertained.
And honestly, any given artist is going to establish what they're all about anyway. When you go see the Black Crowes, you expect to hear those boys play, and they will, and they're damn good at it.
Yep.
But when you go to a KISS show, you're being entertained, just like you are with Britney Spears. And with Aerosmith, I mean, they're not replacing the whole band, but I know there's tape that runs, so to speak, behind Aerosmith. But those guys have all those cool sequences and various harmonies, and there's tons of synth stuff all over the later records.
Dude, so they were doing it on the Pump tour, too.
Pump is loaded with synth stuff.
They got horns and things.
Exactly.
And I'm like, I remember being there, seeing them live and going... Oh, cool. They got the horn section going. I look around like, there's no horns.
No, it's all playback.
Sons of bitches.
I think those boys are playing.
Motley Crue did that too.
But they're entertaining, man. Yep. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Like, I know. You know, people get worked up over
that's not dumbest. My thing,
yep.
But that doesn't make it wrong. And you're right. People get worked up over the wrong, oh, they're not really singing. It's like when the Peppers played the Super Bowl and you can see the Flea's bass wasn't plugged in.
Yep.
And then the Peppers are like, look, man, we get it.
Mm-hmm.
But we had like 6 minutes to get up there and entertain on television.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we did what we had to do to entertain.
It was a halftime show.
Yeah. Were you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained? Right?
Winter is coming.
That once there was a dream that was
Yeah.
I was driving Tawny crazy. We put that movie on in bed and we're snuggling. I just kept doing it. There once there was a dream that was Rome. And then the dream that was Rome. You could barely whisper it. It was so fragile.
I haven't watched Gladiator in like
it
a
holds
decade.
Up.
Does it really?
Up. Yeah.
All right.
But just that chick. He was a Roman. You know, the chick that plays the, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. What else did you do?
Anyway.
Why don't we do some voicemails, some emails, some text messages? Otherwise, I think we'll have a billion to never get to.
Right.
And I'm sure we'll talk about other stuff. I definitely want to talk a little bit about Travis's solo show. That was pretty amazing.
It's amazing. Really
so
amazing.
So let's jump into the voicemails, the emails, and the text messages.
Saw Ziggy Friday night.
I was about to say that too.
I got to introduce Ziggy to a podcast fan too, and they were like, "What? This is Ziggy?
Ziggy's real?"
Yeah, and then I think I might have said some House Cahans.
I got to the triple door. We parked. We're coming in. Mind you, we came from Puyallup. I had a pee so bad, right? So
that's problematic.
Yeah, we get to the triple door and quickly saw a couple people like Tavis and a few other members of Travis's solo band. Was it Jamie, his drummer? Or James?
James.
James saw him.
James Bergstrom.
James.
Yeah, a bunch of really cool people. And then I see Ziggy. I'm like, Ziggy, what's up? And he's like, blah, blah, blah. And I felt bad because like, I could tell he wanted to chat.
I really have to pee.
And I'm like, I got to pee really bad. And Tavis like, you want to come in the back room? I'm like, no, I need to get inside. And there's like four different people trying to pull me in different directions at that moment.
It's the worst.
I instantly have this pee panic attack. Look at him. I'm like, I got to go. And my wife's like, she could tell. I'm like, she's like, let's get you inside. Because I could tell like you're getting a little overwhelmed. I get overwhelmed easy in those situations.
Especially when you
and then when
pee,
I have to
man.
Pee.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to pee my pants. I got a whole night to be in those then.
Yeah.
So
makes things
I'm
awkward.
Like, Ziggy, I'm so sorry. Got to run. Got to go pee. And as I'm leaving to go through the door, I just hear Ziggy go, enjoy your pee. And I'm like, son of a bitch.
Dimed you out.
That was
good
hilarious.
On you, Ziggy.
Oh, it was great. It was great. But let's check out one of our voicemails. 253-271-4787 is the way you can leave us a voicemail or the way that you can also leave us a text message. So we'll start with this one.
Hey, guys. Justin. Got a show update. I got two I want to talk about this time. So first and foremost, the 3 days of amazingness, awesomeness, rowdiness was Shed Fest.
Oh, that went.
It was absolutely amazing to go camping out in the woods and hang out at an old abandoned racetrack and listen to great music, you know, seeing Wyatt and Boys and Ben Epps and of course ending it all with
talking about Wyatt's testicles.
Let's throw that back. No, it's
Wyatt
kinda,
and the Boys.
Like Wyatt and the Boys, and he was like, "Well, no, just Wyatt."
Well, you don't like the Boys?
And I guess great the Boys music, have fallen out of favor.
Seen Wyatt and Boys and well Wyatt
I'm assuming the rest of the band weren't there.
Yeah,
but Wyatt brought his testicles, I'm sure.
Yeah. Okay. Well, no, Wyatt was up there with Crossing Crusades, right?
Ah.
That's probably what that was.
That's what we're talking about.
And, of course, ending it all with Woodshed. It was so good. Big shout out to Autumn and Emily and Will and everyone that put it together. It was a lot of work. It was fun playing Purity. So there's Shed Fest. The other one I wanted to talk about was Travis's solo release.
Yeah, I saw you there.
Show.
Yeah.
I had no idea the triple door was so fancy. Like, I'm really glad I dressed up. Yeah. But it was an amazing show. It had a lot of emotion that night. Travis, of course, as always, sang his freaking heart out. Big thanks to Matt and Chris Walken for getting me the tickets. It was really great. Got to see Ziggy. Yeah, got to talk to him about his little alien. So happy. He's so happy. It's kind of cute. But, and then, of course, by the end of the night, everyone's at the bar upstairs, and, of course, Glenn has to find a microphone and a guitar.
That's not how that happened.
Aside from 5 minutes, look inside, and Glenn's singing. What else is new?
Glenn taking over the show.
So, thanks, guys. Much love. Stay positive. Bye.
Yeah, I just want to throw out there that Tawny was like, now would be a good time to
figure out hang up my damn phone.
It's like my mom. That's my mom. Come on, Roseanne. Figure this out.
Travis had played, and, that was Travis's night. Everyone's there for Travis.
Oh, yeah.
And so we went upstairs, socialized a bit, and Tony's like, now would be a good time to maybe slip away. And I'm like, all right. And so I had
which is awesome because I totally Irish exited, right? Probably.
Oh, dude. Well, we saw you.
I told you point blank. I'm like, I'm Irish exiting.
Yep.
Right,
I was like, I'm with you. I'm with you.
Yeah. But I saw Travis. I was like, I'm going. I want to get ice cream and go home.
Our helmets and like my hoodie and stuff were up behind the lounge stage.
Oh.
So I slipped up behind the curtain.
No.
Grabbed the brain buckets. Grabbed my hoodie and like Tawny's leather. And I'm making my way out from behind the curtain. And I look over and it was either John or Tess that held up the guitar and went, Glenn, you should do some songs.
No.
And I knew John and Tess were responsible for filling 3 hours.
Right. So they needed help.
So it had been mentioned to me at Tracy Moody's 4th of July party by John and Tess. Hey, man, we might
call on you. Yeah.
And I had helmets in hand. And I look, Will Andrews is sitting behind the drum set, and I'm like, well, I'm not going to not jam with Will.
Right.
So I literally, if there's photos, you'll notice there's a pile of helmets and like leather jackets and stuff right on the front corner of the stage. I was on my way out, Justin.
That's funny,
but I'm
man.
Like, okay, I'll do my friends a solid. Plus, man, I'm going to get to jam with Will Andrews.
Yeah.
So I'm going to sit down and play some music with Will. And I sat down and ended up doing a pretty cool set. It's one of those things I sit down with Will, and it's like, what do you know? And he's like, oh, dude. He's like, what do you know? And
that's always a weird thing.
Yeah, so we're looking at each other
say,
like,
Back in Black.
Oh, dude, we're like.
Or Tom Petty.
Well, we did Wood Acoustic, which was ripping.
Uh-huh.
We did Ohio by Neil Young.
Nice.
And kind of nailed it, which was cool. Kathy Moore got up and sang on that.
Nice.
We did River of Deceit.
Uh-huh.
Jake Carden got up and sang all the harmonies on River of Deceit and then sang verse 2 of River of Deceit. We did, I want to say Wish You Were Here. I looked up and Travis sang the second verse of Wish You Were Here, I believe that was.
Wow.
Nice.
I can't remember what else we did, and I'm probably misspeaking a bit, but we did a fairly ripping, like 6 or 7 song set. We did Plush. We ended with Plush.
Very cool.
Because I was like, man, what else? I'm like, do you know Plush? He's like, oh, God, yeah. You know, it's funny because I hit him up afterwards and I was
He just went on tour with Stone Devil Pilots.
Well, dude,
oh, God, yeah.
I was going to say, like, I was going to say, like, Will, man, because I know 2 Tickets in a Room by the Walking Papers off their first record. And we went to Drop D to do the Neil Young song, Ohio. And I had texted him and he was like, dude, that was really fun. This was like the next day. We're texting back and forth. And I was like, yeah, dude, it's funny. When I was in Drop D, I thought about turning to you and saying, dude, I know 2 Tickets in a Room, but I thought that you might choke me.
Yeah.
And he was
just finished a tour.
And he was like, no, nah, dude, I wouldn't have choked you. But I you know,
give
yeah.
me the stink
basically
guy.
Like he said he probably would have said, just kill me, because he had just been playing it and playing it and playing it and playing it and playing it. And you know, so yeah, I was gonna nuke him with one of his own songs.
Yeah.
And in the moment I'm like, no, I'm not gonna do that to him.
Yeah, because he's playing with funny walking papers,
like,
in addition
to
Miles
Wide. Hey, Will, let's do two tickets in a room. Yeah. And we'll be like, ugh.
And they just had a great tour with Stone Temple Pilots.
Yeah, they were over in Europe with STP, and they did a bunch of standalone dates, too, that looked like they were really killer.
That's awesome.
But so, yeah, Will.
That's hilarious. So you were trying to leave, and you get roped
in. I was
in.
On my way out. Like, everyone that got
How is Tawny feeling about that? She's thinking, oh, we're finally leaving.
Oh, she loved it, man.
Seven
she
songs
cool.
later. Okay, we can go now.
Actually, Kyle Court's fiance, Heather, got a picture right of Tawny basically standing there watching me play. It was cool.
That's awesome.
What was really cool, though, is we started playing, and I just had my eyes shut, and this chair wasn't facing forward. It was facing kind of towards the wall. The lounge was to my left shoulder. That's usually a John trick. John is from 10 Miles Wide, doesn't like to play acoustic facing the room. He usually has a shoulder to him, so he can just zone out and get in his bubble.
That makes sense.
That's John's way of performing, is he goes into his own little sphere, and then this amazing stuff comes out of him. But for me, you know, I had my eyes shut, or I'm looking at Will, eyes shut, looking at Will. Finally, I looked over. The damn lounge was packed. And I was like, oh.
That's cool.
Like, we have an audience now. You know what I mean? So that was it was cool. But that's the true story of what happened, is I was trying to get out and got
that's
grabbed
funny.
With all my gear in hand. Like, I almost made it, but didn't.
One foot out the door, man.
Just so you know, Justin.
you know, since we're talking about trap, the show was insanely
amazing.
It was
incredible.
It was cool to be in a room full of people there to celebrate the music of Travis Brock. And not only did he do some of his solo stuff, he also did some Second Coming stuff, and Dudley Taft jumped up. So it was a mini reunion of Second Coming, because James, the drummer for Travis's solo project, is the former drummer of Second Coming.
Remember
Dudley,
me talking
guitarist.
About the Postmodern Heroes song that I loved so much?
Yeah.
They played that Postmodern Heroes song, whatever it's called.
Yes, they did.
But and it's killer. It just destroyed. It's a real slow song. He says something about the station.
Yeah.
We did something at the station. We did something at the station. And it just grows and gets bigger and bigger and bigger. But that was the song I was trying to talk about.
Dude, there's so many great songs.
It was an amazing set.
I'm really looking forward to hearing that record in its entirety. And, you know, he also jumped up later on and did a Sean Smith song, which was really cool. But man, the one song, and dude, it was a struggle not to let the tears flow, was the song about his son.
Yep.
He has a song on the record that's called Tristan's Song. And when the chorus kicked in, man, it hit me in ways I did not expect for it to hit me.
It's powerful, man.
And, you know, his voice is powerful too, and just the way that he sings it, and knowing that his son was there. And I'm just like, the whole time I'm thinking, Sid, don't look over. Just don't look to the left. Just keep watching the show. I'm like, and, you know, and at one point, even like later on, Sid's like, did you see the girl sitting next to her? She was like crying at some points. How crazy is that? I'm like,
How crazy is that?
Yeah, she's crying.
I mean, it's just music. She's crying?
What I think?
Who would do that?
Oh,
just losers. Nah, dude, that brought me to legit brought me to tears. That's how good the song was.
Well, and I think it was
and
the song Last Funeral. Tristan got up and sang a piece of a verse with him.
Yep.
Damn.
And then he gets into the I leave everything to my boy, I leave everything to my boy.
It's powerful.
And Kara Franklin Moytoy was sitting right in front of me. Her, Rob Butler, does RJB Photo Studios.
Yep.
But she turned to look back to me, and she was like, was that his son? And I'm like, yeah. And I just saw it in her face. Eyes went to glass, just because he said, right when Tristan walked off stage is when he started singing the I leave everything to my boy, I leave everything. And I just saw it hit her like, and actually just describing that moment gave me goosebumps. Yeah. It was really powerful stuff.
Dude, it was.
Amazing
from
show.
From beginning to end, it was very special. And shout out not only to Travis, but also Jake on bass, who did a great job.
Yep.
Also James on drums, who's a phenomenal drummer and really fun to watch. The setup that he has and what he was doing to manipulate certain sounds. As a drummer, I was geeking out. Kyle on the keyboards, Kyle Court.
Yeah.
Our man JT Phillips, who I love. The fact that no matter what show he's playing, he's got his trusty fan.
Hell yeah.
The
fan.
The hair is flowing.
Seattle's Beyonce.
Yep.
The new originals went over to rehearse at JT's spot, and I used his rig.
Yeah.
And I stepped over, and that damn fan was blowing off. I reached down and turned it off. I was like,
what? Oh, yeah.
I was blowing my hair, and my clothes were up in my face and stuck to mine. I was like, what?
You're not JT.
No.
You don't know how to do it.
I can't do it. I don't know how to
His
do it.
His hair flows perfectly. It knows. It has its own mind, and
I'm
it knows what to do.
Inside of 1/1000 to 1,000, I was like,
F this thing.
Yeah. I want it off now.
I love that.
Yeah. And Dudley Taft, you jumped up with them as well. Shout out to Aaron Jones also.
Yeah.
I saw him do the... Who did he perform with in the beginning? She was amazing.
Was he before Travis?
I think he jumped up also later on with Ben Smith, but
I didn't see any of the Ben Smith
did, there was a lady doing acoustic, and he jumped up with her, and legit...
I saw Travis play his song. I saw our boy Jeff Rouse with Kathy Moore and some cats do a couple songs.
Yeah.
And then that was the, hey, do you want to go ahead and get out of here? And I didn't make it.
And you got caught.
But it was cool, though, because all those musicians ended up jamming with me on the lounge stage.
Let's see.
The only ones I missed were Aaron and Jeff. We'll have to plot that next time, right?
Oh, man, what the hell? Who was it? That's gonna piss me off. But, and I'm on Aaron Jones's page. You know, I suck. I feel bad because I am giving love to him, but it wasn't just him. It was also a female singer that was blew my mind.
She was.
Yes, that was exactly who it was.
You can find her on Facebook at
right.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure her name was. And you could find her on Facebook.
That was her.
Yeah,
yep,
dude.
Yep, that was it.
Justin's like, what just happened?
He's just like, I'm like, what is going on over here? What just broke?
And it's Glenn messing rocking with the mute stuff over there.
I'm just like, what is happening? Like, this is not my problem on this side.
You straight up threw me the bird.
He's screwing with me.
Sorry, man. I thought it'd be a good way to say her name was. And you can
All right.
Whitney Monjay.
Whitney Monjay.
I believe that's how it's pronounced. Watch, I pronounced it wrong.
It's not ketchup.
It's ketchup. Ketchup.
It's parquet. Not Whitney or Monge. M-O-N-G-E.
Oh, no. Monge.
Monge.
I'm going to go Monjay.
Monjay.
Whitney Monjay.
Whitney Monjay.
She has pipes. I was a big
fan of
hers.
Amazing. Yeah. That's cool.
And she's great stage presence, cracking me up at times during the, like, in between.
That's
talking
cool.
about getting high with Aaron. It was pretty funny. And
then
he said, like, she keeps her joints in her hair. And
it was just, it was
fun. Right on, but, like, I was super, the two of them together, they should, maybe like do a recording or something. And if they, I was like in my head, I'm like, I don't want to play drums with these two. They just would be a lot of fun. But yeah, they were really freaking great.
Nice.
So that was awesome.
Nice.
Shout out to all those guys. Shout out to Travis.
Yeah, it was an incredible show. It really was. Really,
and really
special.
Cool to meet the people that I met. And sorry, Ziggy, I had to pee. All right, do an email. TheMixCast@gmail.com. Thank you guys for talking about what you did in the first part of the podcast. I suffer from panic attacks myself, and I brought it up again.
Oh, yeah.
I've come to realize that the main reason I have panic attacks is because I worry too much about things. Granted, I have a heart condition I have to worry about, but I always tend to worry about the little things, which in turn starts to add up. In the last couple of months, I've just been really hard on me, so I'm glad that I'm not the only one who thinks the same way, and that is from Austin. Dude, I always find myself...
Definitely not.
When you realize you're not alone in whatever weirdness that's going on in your head, it helps so much.
No, Austin, man, I had a full-blown anxiety attack yesterday. From the minute I left my house in the afternoon, everything that happened between then and about 5 p.m. was a full-blown nightmare that I'll be continuing to fix today. But for whatever reason, I wasn't in that headspace of, oh, well, that sucks. I got to fix this now. Or, okay, well, I can take care of this. Or, okay. It avalanched on me, and it avalanched, and it spiraled, and the next thing you know, I'm in my van at a stoplight, screaming at the top of my lungs, just screaming, shaking. All I want to do is find someone or something and destroy it and crush it and pulverize it into dust. I'm full-blown anxiety attack. And it took a couple hours for me to get on the other side of it, and then I was like, wow. And then all I could do is look back and be like, ugh. I had a full-blown anxiety attack.
Yeah.
I lost my mind. I was in traffic screaming at the top of my lungs. Everything that happened sucked, and it's going to be a bunch of problems, but they're just problems that I'm going to fix. Life is pretty good. Life is actually really good. Sometimes that stuff just overwhelms you, man, and you're definitely not alone. And when it happens and you're already in the middle of it, it's really hard to say, wait a minute, take a deep breath because life is good.
Yeah.
You're already gone, bro, but you're definitely not alone. And I just wanted to tell you that, man. Like, literally yesterday, I lost my mind. And by yesterday evening, I was like, damn, that sucked. You know, like, it happens. Life is good. I've got everything in the world to be excited about. I've just got some problems I've got to solve. Life is going to throw you problems. Things are going to get expensive. They're going to come out of nowhere, and they're going to cause you to flare up and lose your mind like that. But you're not alone, brother. You're
far from alone.
Really not alone, Holmes.
It's funny. Not funny, haha, but just funny. We talk about this because my buddy, who's a wrestler, Randy Myers, Ravenous Randy Myers, the weirdo hero, the man that I've kissed a few times at wrestling ring. But one of his things, he even wears it sometimes on his gear, and he says it all the time. He says, your anxiety is lying to you. And
yeah,
I always think that's
no
such a
doubt,
great
man.
Line.
That's
like that.
Beautifully put.
Yeah, and it's like, and he'll always say that. I think he just did an interview with Kevin Deers for his blog, the Jabroni
Journal. Yeah.
And one of the things that he said, like Kevin said, what do you want to leave everyone with? He's just like, your anxiety is a liar from Liesville, and it's lying to you, or something along those lines.
Yeah, it's a lying liar from Liesville.
Yeah, but it's so true, man. When it's so simple that your anxiety is lying to you, but when you really think about it, it's like,
perfectly put.
Your mind is messing with
you. Well, I've said sometimes, like, depending on what's happening to me, I can't tell what's real.
Yep.
And I know people have a hard time wrapping their head around that, but that is one way of describing what I'm trying to describe. Like, what my perception is so vastly askew that I can't tell what's really happening.
Yeah.
People that love me, that would do anything for me, in my mind, are my enemies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it gets that out of whack, dude, and it's my reality. But yeah, it's your anxiety's lying to you. Your depression's lying to you.
Yeah.
That's beautifully put. It's very simply put. Maybe I'll start saying that instead of saying sometimes I can't tell what's real. Because usually when I say that to people, it kind of wigs them out.
Because then they're thinking, oh, are you hearing voices?
Yeah.
Sometimes I am.
Yeah, usually, your own.
Dude, it's my own inner narrator, and that narrator sometimes, man, he's having a bad day.
Yeah.
And the narration's loud. I can't hit mute. I get into the special features, I can't figure out how to turn it off, and that makes me even madder.
Yeah. Well, dude, that's like, even I've had that moment just recently. Like, you know, I did the wrestling thing with over at the OA. I'm talking about how much fun I had, but then there's part of me I watched back to Max, and I'm like, oh, I'm the drizzling poops. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you had those things. And then I sent a message to, like, the guy that runs it. I'm like, hey, man, thanks for having me. If you ever need me again, I'm 100% in. And he wrote back. He's like, I will for sure. Thanks. And then in my head, I'm like, that means he doesn't want me. He's just blowing me off. And I'm like, he didn't do anything.
Well, dude, he could be juggling 20 things. You were the 36th text message. And he went, God, I love that guy. I will. Thanks.
Right. And everything he wrote was completely positive.
Because there was no heart emoji, you were like, and now I'll open a blood vessel.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, yeah,
you don't hear you don't hear the way that he say it or anything like that.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah.
So, dude. Absolutely, Austin, you are.
Yeah, you're not alone, brother. We're with
1,000% not alone. Another email, subject title, Glenn's solo album.
Oh.
This is from Mike in Kent. Just listened to the July 2nd episode, blown away by the tracks from Glenn's solo record.
Thanks, man.
Wasn't able to kickstart, but I'm definitely going to buy this album. Where and when can I get it? I want this record. I need this record in my life. Keep rocking and stay positive.
Glenn, right on, he needs it.
Well,
don't
so,
let him down.
You know, the official release show is Friday, but here soon, it'll be available for sale on glenncannon.net. Remember, that's double N. So GlennCannon.net. Go to glenncannon.net. You can stream the entire album right there now for free, and it will be available for sale probably within the next 2 weeks. I'm in the middle of digital distribution right now. So
like all like the iTunes.
iTunes and all that. Probably Spotify's. Within the next 4 to 6 weeks, you'll be able to find it on all those sources. You can download it right now if you go to Glenn Cannon Bandcamp. You can purchase it digitally there right now. A lot of people have bought it already. I keep getting these notifications from Bandcamp. People are buying the record left, right, and center, and I'm not even promoting that.
That's cool.
Like, how are people even finding this?
Google, brah.
You know, and so, yeah, it's out there for sale right now. If you want to download it, you can go to my Bandcamp, bro.
Send me $20. I'll send you a digital copy of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can hit up Miggs
Pro Wrestling Tees.
Wrestling Tees. I'm Steve Miggs.
That's where you get the record.
Two T-shirts. I'll send you a link to the Bandcamp where you can listen to it for free.
Yeah, that's right. That's Pro Wrestling Tees / I'm Steve Miggs is where you get the Glenn Cannon album.
Yep.
But yeah, no, dude, beyond that. That awesome and probably top resource for my record.
Mm-hmm.
You can also go to glenncannon.net and buy a physical copy, which I'll mail to you within the next couple weeks.
Very cool.
Or you could go to, you know, Pro Wrestling Tees / I'm Steve Makes.
Buy my shirt. Get Glenn's record. Can't promise when you'll get it, but you'll get it.
Goodness. Autographed by Steve.
Yes.
The link.
Right. I will autograph the CD.
Steve will.
Yeah, I'm not even on the record.
Steve will autograph the link.
I know.
He'll get into MS
Paint. It's a printout. Yep. It's a printout of him.
Wow. I'll print out of the link.
I'll email you a picture of my autograph. You can print it on whatever you want.
He prints a screenshot of my website and he just writes the word verified on it. And that's only $37.50 through Pro Wrestling Tees / I am Steve.
For an extra $50, I'll send you a blue Sharpie and you can trace over it so that the blue check mark is the proper color.
That's right, man. Yeah.
Wow.
Thomas, thanks for the love, brother. Thank you for the love. Seriously.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mike, for listening as well. Thomas writes us, he says, random 3 a.m. thoughts.
Uh-oh.
All right. So this is themixcast@gmail.com. First off, I want to say thank you guys for doing so awesome with the podcast. I look forward to each and every cast you guys do. I'd love to grab a beer with all of you and just hang. That's the ultimate compliment. I always say about
you
anyone.
You actually want to be around us?
Right. That's nice. But don't you think about that? Like with certain celebrities, I think the ultimate praise you could say is like, that's a guy, like Billy Bob Thornton for me.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
That's a guy I would love to just sit at a bar, even if we're just drinking soda pop and doesn't want to drink alcohol, just sit at a bar and listen to some stories.
Mm-hmm.
And so to hear someone say that about us is super flattering. All right, starts with the Rev.
Oh.
Rev, I got to join your Traeger Facebook group.
Oh, yeah.
I've been smoking with mine for 3 years, and I've even taken a barbecue class out of Tukwila. I would love to have a cook-off. Thank you for unabashedly embracing your nerddom. I totally geek out right there with you.
Yeah. Oh, I appreciate that, but you're probably going to win on any cook-off. Like, Traeger makes it so, I mean, you know, hashtag ad, whatever you want to say with this, but I seriously love the Traeger.
I have one as well, and
like,
I love it.
I go, like, love it. It's the literal first time I've spent time putting together my own rub. Like, I did it for Father's Day, and I did pulled pork, got a good old pork butt with that, made my own rub because
that was my nickname in high school,
pork butt.
I was just thinking Days of Thunder, Rubbin's Racing Coal.
Oh, wow. But it was like the father-in-law, he was like, we want to do this, and here's a recipe. I was like, well, he wants this recipe, so I'm going to use this rub because I don't know what to do, and put it together. Cooked it, and it was perfect.
Nice.
And seriously, it is. People are like, oh, it's the easy way to do stuff.
I know. I love the haters.
And you know what? Yes. Sure it is. You know what? It's also getting me to do it and go outside and cook, and it's fantastic.
I always have people like, oh, it's like the slow, the slow cooker?
Crock pot or Instapot.
Like,
yeah,
the Traeger's like the crock pot of cooking. It's just nobody can mess it up.
You
I'm
know,
like,
man,
that's
good.
Great.
My boy's cooking, and it tastes delicious.
Yeah.
Shut the F up.
No.
Shut the F up.
I like knowing I can turn an on button, fill up with some wood pellets. I don't have to worry about charcoals. I don't have to worry about propane.
You don't have to worry about burning the stuff.
I bet it was delicious,
it was.
I've not had a bad meal on my Traeger.
The 4th of July was fantastic. Like, I had the my best friend Brogan. He came over because he was like, are you doing anything for the 4th?
I'm Traegering.
Like, it was like, yeah, I'm basically going to cook some stuff. It's like, all right, I'll bring some stuff over as well. So we had salmon, we had brats, we had burgers, we had steak. It was so good.
Oh, nice one. Nice pushing that one out, Glenn.
Glenn,
pushed too hard.
Jimmy cracked corn, and I'm actually kind of upset about it.
Yeah. Wow. Usually it's Steve. I heard you. That's how you lean over, heard the sound.
Yeah. I had a burrito today.
That's my first official Migs
Cast. It is. I'm proud of you. You're now an official member of the Migs Cast. It's been
I've
this long.
A chair.
You finally passed the test.
Yeah, Jimmy cracked corn.
Man, I hope that Glenn hope that travels over there.
Passed the test.
I'm riding a motorcycle, too. I can't soil myself. It's going to be hella bad.
Oh, man. Like, seriously, what's going to happen if that happens, man?
It'll be like video game Spy Hunter with this, the oil slick. Remember in Spy Hunter?
Along came Polly. We got to go. Why, Glenn? Because I sharted. I got to go.
All right, next part of his 3 a.m. thoughts from Thomas. He goes, Glenn, thank God for you.
Oh, wow.
Your realness helps me so much. Your struggles and how you work through it for good, it'll help me. Help you work through it for good, or I'll help me get me through my day knowing that I'm not alone on my emotional roller coaster of life. You've helped me renew my quest to talk with a professional psychologist to deal with my demons.
That's killer, man.
So look forward to your interactions with the meter maid, Gestapo, or your Uber Chronicles. Also, Gahans.
That's also Gahans.
Dude, thanks. Much love, dude. That means, a lot, man.
Have you had any weirdos in the old Uber lately?
No. Well, honestly,
have you had to bring a bird to an animal place by any chance?
No, no, man.
Some dude was drunk and a bird fell, like a baby bird, and he was freaking out and he put it up on Facebook and everyone's like, you need to get it to wildlife because it'll die if it doesn't get taken care of. But, you know, you can save this bird's life. And he's like, well, crap, I'm too drunk to drive.
Uber.
So someone jokingly said, why don't you call an Uber for it? He called an Uber for it. The car found out what he was calling the Uber for, canceled the
most of them do.
Right. The next person, she accepted it, drove the damn bird in a box.
Had to explain.
I would have done that.
I was wondering. I know you would. Of course you would. Dude. And the bird's alive. And now the bird's name is Uber.
That's
I don't know
rad.
If it is, but I did
that's rad.
That.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. I like
Uber.
It.
Uber the bird.
Yeah, no, nothing wild and crazy. Lots of nice people.
That's cool.
You know, but I haven't, I like daytime. It cuts down on the nonsense.
Yeah.
You know? The reason why I don't do a lot of bar nights.
Stinkerbell the Puke Fairy, you know, that was the last straw for the night times. So, that and, of course, the time I got kidnapped.
He was a former professional football player.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh.
Still one of my favorite stories.
It's amazing.
amazing.
Every time I drive by that strip club, I think of you.
Oh, man.
And then I go in and say hi to everybody.
Okay, that's weird.
So it's on 167405.
Oh.
So I drive by that almost every day.
Ah.
Do I stop at it every day? No. No. Once a week.
Is there an upstairs?
I don't know yet. I'll ask. He also says, Steve, being a 44-year-old, you remind me not to let the excuse of feeling old stop me from doing what I love doing.
Yeah.
So we just talked about that earlier.
That's rad, yeah.
Like Glenn, when you share your ups and downs in your work life or relationships with your music or wrestling, it only helps those listening keep being dorky and edgy. All hail the
dorky
local celebrity.
And edgy.
Appreciate that. As a group, you guys have really hit on something special. Your chemistry together makes me feel like I'm there grabbing a beer with you, going down musical wormholes. God, he summed up today's episode.
Yeah, right.
Going down really musical wormholes that I fully jumped down with you guys is great. I always have to pause the cast and listen to the songs that you're talking about. I really want to hear Bruiser Brody's version of Pictures of You. As it's one of my favorites of all time.
So good.
Sad to say, I don't know if this cast will translate well to a radio show, but if it could be done, you guys would crush it. Aww. Thank you guys from Thomas. Thomas, you're the man.
Thanks,
thank
man.
You so much,
thank
man.
Thank you so much.
Everything
bro.
You wrote could not be more true.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. I really appreciate
it. Seriously, like, I love the Pictures of You. And, like, I'm seriously hoping that you guys put it on the new album.
Yeah.
Because that actually got me back into listening to Disintegration.
It's nice. A good record. It's that, so that record good. Is never bad, dude.
No, it's not.
You'll put it on and be like, oh. And then an hour later, you're like, God, that was sick. You know? Like,
I kind of wish that, like, I would have brought some video cameras and filmed the show at the Tractor, because there were some cool moments. And, you know, luckily some footage out there, but, you know, we liked
cell phone footage. And
well, and also just sometimes, like, if you're on one side of the stage, you get the perspective of that side of the stage, and that's about it. It'd be great to have, like, a camera in the back of the room that just kind of takes in what the sound guy hears.
Okay, yeah.
You know, even if it's not great quality, just to kind of get the full spectrum. But that's something. If anyone has video footage of our show at the Tractor, just please post it on Facebook, on Bruiser Brody's Facebook page, or on the Migscast page. Be kind of cool. And plus, if there's enough cool footage out there, maybe I'll grab a bunch of it, edit it together, and make like a little music video for one of our songs.
There you
That'd
go.
Be cool.
Yeah.
Whenever I have some downtime, I like doing that kind of crap. You know what? Why don't we? What time are we at? Let's do one more voicemail, and then we'll get to more at some point. At some point, I don't know when.
We love you guys. Please don't stop writing and calling.
Yeah, keep sending stuff eventually.
If you're
sometimes.
A fan of the show, you know that we always have the best intentions, but then like Rev will be like, man, have you seen the thing about the shoelace? And 2 hours later, we're all sore from laughing.
Right.
And we've talked about everything.
We got through a lot of stuff today by comparison.
Man, no, I agree.
Yeah, I think Steve kept us on task.
Yeah, good job. Good job.
You know?
And so about DOA wrestling. No, I'm kidding.
About that shoelace.
Let's see. Let's just go to, I'll just grab a random one. A voicemail.
Hey guys. Oh. Bands who used to be popular and keep touring, even though most of the members have left the band, I go and see my favorite band and it still has the original bass player, but then the rest is made up of like college dropouts. I don't want to see them. I want to see the band that I love. Like, why am I watching this crash of a band? Anyway, thanks for listening.
That happened to me. I remember years ago, I went to go see a band called Juicifer, and it was a two-piece with literally a wall of amps.
Okay.
The noisiest band ever. They're opening for Prong.
Oh, and yeah. Snap your fingers.
Prong.
Snap your neck.
Was the lead singer, and then like 420-somethings. And you're just like,
dude, I remember that opening happened with me when I saw them open for Danzig at the EMP Sky Church back when it was the EMP.
Yeah.
And I was so pumped to finally see Prong live. And I'm like, well, I got to see the Tommy, the lead singer.
Yeah. Yep. Dude, that was it. I was like, oh.
Went and opened up for, it was supposed to be LA Guns. And it was really, 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 but somehow during, it was us and Underride opening for LA Guns. It was packed for our sets. And I think somehow during ours and Underride set, word got out that, I don't know who from the original band was there, but Tracy Guns wasn't.
The guy who's named
this
after.
This is what's funny. Tracy Guns wasn't there, the guitar player.
But Freddie Pistols was there?
Stacy Blades.
No!
I'm not kidding. Stacy Blades. And so after Windowpane played.
Now you're insulting your fans.
The club emptied. I mean, six people.
It wasn't LA Guns. It was La Guns. And unfortunately, there was a little mix-up.
Yeah. But when I heard that, I was like, so they don't have Tracy Guns with them. They're still calling it LA Guns. I'm like, I don't even know what. Who's playing guitar? I'm like, this guy's Stacy Blades. And at that point, I doubled over. Because it was like, Tracy Guns, Stacey Blades. Like, why even go there?
Right. You know, like, I was joking about that? Like, who's Freddy playing Pistols.
This next tour is with Manny Monopoly. I mean, what, right. what are they yeah. doing, man? Bobby Bobble.
Right. Like, it's like,
why don't you stop?
We're going to see Poison. Who's on guitar? Is it CeCe DeVille? No, it's D.D. Favre.
Yeah, right. For me, it'd be like, is it Tracy Guns? No, it's Robert
Anything.
Robinson or
yeah,
whatever.
Right?
You know, it's Steve Jones or just that's the guy's name, not Stacey Blades.
Right. Yeah,
Stacey, if you're out there, man, I'm not trying to offend you personally, but let's face the fact that it was a bad idea, Stacey.
But was it spelled with a Y or an I?
I didn't know.
And I left the heart two, on top man. Of it.
And was there a Z at the end of
I
Blades?
I left two, dude. I left two.
Three Z's.
You loaded out and left?
Oh, Gear was already in the green room, so they didn't have to watch us load out. You know?
That would have been funny.
Just rolling amps in front of the stage. Imagine rolling amps in front of the stage while they're playing.
Oh, gotta go. Gosh.
Like, yeah.
To like the three people left.
That's awesome.
No, I you know, it's what you see a lot of that.
Was it like Frankie Goes to Hollywood, but Frankie wasn't in the band or something like that?
It's like Jacob Goes to Nevada or something. You know?
See, and that's something I was kind of worried about.
Buckwheat Goes to Cleveland.
Like, I'm going,
you know?
And I'm going to go see.
Buckwheat Goes to Cleveland.
Relax. You don't do it when you want to get to it. Relax.
They change it to stress out. Just do it. Roll your anxiety is
when
not
you
lying
your
to
mind.
You. What do you say, Ref?
I forgot. Why don't we get out of here?
Friday, the crocodile,
hey,
baby.
Yeah, everyone, come down, support the show Friday. It is
big
a
deal.
Killer bill, Stoic FB, Woodshed, 10 miles wide, and the premiere of my new thing.
Yeah.
And thank you guys for all the love and support, and really, really please come down to the show. Come
Fun
down
cannon.
To the show. See it live. Yeah, man, just come to the Croc Friday. I'd
so
really
is it now officially
it.
The band's called Glenn Cannon and the Pork Butts?
Glenn Cannon and the Blades.
No, wait. Three Z's. Three Z's.
Glenn right. Cannon goes to Ritzville.
Wow.
What's another random? Oh, Pawpaw, West Virginia. So Cannon goes
Paw,
to Pawpaw. Pawpaw, West Virginia is a real place, man.
That doesn't sound real to me.
Pawpaw, West Virginia, look it up.
With their first hit, Stress
yeah.
Out,
look
and
it up.
Do it.
Stress
bitch.
Out, just do it. Dealing with depression. Oh, no, yeah.
Crocodile, check out Glenn Cannon and the Blades. With three Z's. And get the new record. It's out now. It's awesome. Devil in the Sunshine. And stay positive, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.